everyone, and welcome to another episode of Horror Homeroom Conversations. I'm Elizabeth Irwin.
I'm Gwen Hoffman.
I'm Dawn Keatley.
And in today's episode, it's a disturbing journey into the misleading world of social media, courtesy of Curtis David Harder's Influencer. The story follows social media influencer Madison, who is in Thailand for what was supposed to be a romantic getaway with her boyfriend Ryan. But her lonely and mundane reality is shown to be completely at odds with the exciting, friend-filled adventures she portrays online. And when a chance meeting with local CW offers Madison an opportunity to turn her lies into truth, she embarks on a dark journey where image is definitely not everything. Equal parts eviscerating indictment of influencer culture and cautionary tale about the importance of skepticism, Influencer is a film specifically of its time. But is that a good thing? We're breaking it all down today with spoilers, so stay tuned.
You know what's funny? Like, your introduction has just kind of made me think about something.
Uh-oh.
So, again, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend doesn't show up. I mean, he does, but, you know, seemingly he doesn't show up for the romantic getaway.
But he does show up. And, I mean, he has an engagement ring when he shows up.
When he thinks that she's left him.
Yes. You see a problem with
that?
I guess
he's
kind
of a jerk.
I completely forgot about that part.
Okay, yeah.
Because I got lost in the rest of the film that I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Dude doesn't show up. So then I guess that also speaks to how false her life really is.
Right.
So I guess that's something we'll get into. So that just made me think a little bit. Thank you for that introduction, my friend.
Thinking is good. We are pro-thinking on this podcast as much as we can.
But did I like it?
Yeah.
I think that I'm missing something because, again, I'm so used to having a little bit of backstory for my horror.
Yeah.
And I was missing some of the backstory, but I still think it was good. It was thought-provoking, and there were still some moments of tension where even I was like, ooh, this made me feel uncomfortable.
Well, I was the one that recommended this, and it sounds like it didn't go over terribly well. I actually thought it was more than okay. I thought it was really good, really interesting, not necessarily scary, which now that I say that out loud may actually be a problem with a horror movie, but it's more of your sort of
dread
thriller.
Definitely dread.
Yeah.
Psychological thriller / dread horror rather than gore, of which there is virtually none. Now that I think about it.
Maybe when Jessica ends up in a suitcase.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Gwen said her problem or one of her problems was that there was no backstory for CW. I guess I thought that was what was kind of interesting about this film. You know, CW she lives in Thailand, apparently, and she appears to make it a habit of kind of befriending influencers, people who have a social media presence. That's the pattern we see in this film anyway, when she does that with two women. And then when she sort of lured them into a kind of friendship, she takes them in a boat out to an island and leaves them there. And
as one does.
As one does. And we don't know why CW does this. We don't know anything about her past or her present. Like, literally nothing. Nothing.
There's definitely some irony in her choice to leave them isolated alone on an island. Like, it's definitely not, you know, I'm just going to kill you here unless it's, you know, a circumstance.
Yeah.
I want to make the influencer feel alone and have no resource.
Yes.
And see what happens.
Yeah. And it's interesting when she takes Madison, the main victim of this film, to the island and they're sitting around the campfire, Madison says something about, you know, sort of, oh, this friend of mine from when I was a girl who was really into dark shit would have thought you were going to kill me. And CW says, I'm not going to kill you. But then she describes, like, what it will be like to be left on this island.
In detail,
and how it would affect her body and, you know, her thirst. And I just thought that was really interesting. Like, she's taking these people who live online. It's not just about, like, she's isolating them. They're used to being in front of, like, thousands of followers, and she isolates them. But she also takes people who live online and says, this is what physical reality is like.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to starve. This is what happens to your body when you don't have water. this is what it's like to die slowly, to like be in your body. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And be eaten by crabs.
And be eaten by crabs.
Yeah. Can't forget the crabs. I liked it. I mean, I guess for me, I like the way that it personally sort of butts up against my own personal views of social media. And it definitely gets right that intersection of influencing culture and capitalism. So I think that's really cool. But I think what I really liked about it was that it really talks about, you know, how dependent social media is on curation and what that means when it bumps up against reality and is in contrast to reality, and how that makes people respond in what are like sort of intrinsically unhealthy ways. And yet it's perpetuated so much. I mean, in this film, that's all you see is her taking pictures of herself with selfies or, you know, doing brand deals. And as soon as the camera captures that image that will be transmitted, the reality is something quite stark and different. And that's not to say that every influencer is inherently sad because, you know, you do have a lot of money and you do have access to a lot of things. So I'm sure some people really enjoy it. But is that healthy? And I think that's kind of what it's getting at. But it's getting at it in an interesting way, because clearly CW isn't healthy. Mm-hmm. And she's the antithesis of the influencer culture. It made some strange choices.
It didn't toe the line.
Right.
Like, it didn't go all in.
Yeah.
And I guess that's something I was going to say as my next question is, why do we think they chose the title influencer? And or what do we think this says? I think less about social media, more about the culture of people that perpetuate social media.
I agree with that.
Because I guess it's less about social media as a whole. So what do we think about the title and or this motif of influencers?
Well, I think there's a lot of different types of influencing that's happening in the film, right? You have the most obvious with regard to Madison and Ryan and their sort of social media presence. But then you also have the role CW plays in influencing Madison's decision and sort of getting her to deviate from the norm, like going out with people she doesn't know, you know, partying, trying new foods. So she's influencing her just as much as Madison does to her followers. And I thought it was interesting, sort of that through line of how influencing in and of itself is toxic. And social media might open that up to more people so that the toxicity is increased. But the inherent problem is more the relationship with the people, you know, trying to convince somebody to do something. It's against maybe their grain.
And it is, I mean, to think of CW as an influencer, she's also very coercive at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I guess the film is showing that coercion is built into all kinds of influencer culture. Like, because CW doesn't get Madison and then Jessica, like, out of their comfort zones until she's stolen their passports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So she has to do that to kind of then influence them to come and see authentic Thailand.
And what she's showing her is positive.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It is a good thing to experience a culture, you know, not removed from it, but as part of it. But I think where it sort of switches is that it goes from being a positive to a negative when Madison is really not making decisions for herself. She's still just sort of going along what CW wants. It's not her saying, oh, I want to try this restaurant. It's, oh, Ryan recommended that restaurant. And or CW wants to take this trip out on the boat, so I'm going to go with her. She's still not making her own decisions.
I guess that's kind of what I was thinking, is that this idea of an influencer is it's all BS.
Right.
Like, it's not real, you know, because at the end of the day, every single one of those people on that movie was alone, period.
But it is real in terms of sort of the capitalist side of it, right? Because we see how lucrative.
Yeah.
It is, but at the same time, how quickly it goes away when they start to lose followers.
And how artificial it is, because at one point CW is able to sort of insert herself into Madison's online sort of profiles across social media.
She takes over her persona briefly.
Yeah. And it kind of made me think about AI, because I'm really fascinated by what's going on about how now we all know that it can write for you, but now it can also take voice, like even little snippets of voices. But now they can also create, if there's one image of you, they can morph it so that it talks and blinks and looks like a real person.
Yeah.
And that's frightening.
I mean, it seems like it might be the death of a lot of jobs, but it might be the death of of influencer culture. Like, AI can take over the role of human influencer, and why not? They'd be better at it.
Well, I just watched a video of an essayist on YouTube, and they said, yeah, the job should be obsolete probably in about 2 years, because think about it, AI can write the scripts, it can pull the media clips, it can assemble the videos and
narrate them.
Yep, you just have to upload. Just need a way to upload, and it's wild.
Because I was about to jump to, and I can't believe this, and I watch no influencers whatever myself, but to play devil's advocate, I mean, how different is it from any other job? I mean, and Madison makes that clear, for instance, when she goes to the pool, sets up her selfie stick, takes a picture of herself holding a product, and then when she's taken it, she goes back to being herself. I mean, there's, you know, there's you at work, and then there's you when you're not at work. I mean, how is that different from any other job? Except maybe most of us are not quite as pleasant at our job because we don't have to be. So
I feel like the issue is manipulation.
It is a job.
I agree with that, because I feel like the influencer is actually keeping up with the follower and the brander. Like, I just don't know how unique their content or comments or pictures or experiences really are.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
and you could tell the followers were fickle, because you were even talking before we started out with, what was his name, Jay?
Ryan? Or Jay.
Is that his name, Jay? Yeah. Who switched parties real quick. And that is kind of par for the course with a lot of followers.
Yeah. I think where people sort of get uncomfortable with social media influencing is when you can't tell that it's an advertisement.
Yeah.
And I know they've worked on that to try to make it at least to have to put into the body of the different social medias, like, this is an ad. And so people, I think rightly, feel like if you are trying to tell me this is your honest experience and I'm just going throughout my day and this is what you use, people want to know that that's real, because it's supposed to be different, quote unquote, than advertising. Like, when you watch an advertisement, you know someone's selling to you. When you watch someone who's doing a vlog and they're just sort of going throughout their day and they're sprinkling in, like, hey, this is the coffee I use. And look at these great sheets that I just got.
You like know? In movies. Yeah. Oh, let me grab a Coke from the fridge.
And the successful influencers do it so seamlessly that you don't know you're being sold to. And I think that's where people, because for better or for worse, I think especially a lot of young people really do look at some of these influencers as like friends. You have those parasocial relationships. And then to find out that those relationships really are based on money, I mean, let's be real, for the most part, I think that can be a hard pill for people to swallow.
Isn't it crazy that kids aspire to this now? Like, it used to be the basketball player. Or
it's lucrative, though.
It is.
I mean, at least, with athletes, they have a skill.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was, I can't remember what university it was, but I read relatively recently that some university gave free room and board and tuition to two twins to come to their university because they were huge influencers.
Yeah. That's money.
And they, you know, all they had to do was sort of film their experience at this university. And obviously the university was buying them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what you were saying about the line between experience and advertisement, I mean, that line is so blurry to be non-existent. I mean, those two kids who had been paid to go to college and broadcast their experience, I mean, they were obviously being swayed to sell the university.
Yeah. And they would just argue probably it's no different from any other PR campaign, except people think it's real.
Yeah. The people watching think it's real. And even the girls themselves, who are the college first year students, they may think it's real.
They probably do.
I mean, that's what's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what's scary about it. It's the loss of a sense of the difference between authentic and inauthentic.
Yes.
And real and advertisement, which is why this job can so easily be picked up by an AI, because that's the embodiment of the loss of that difference.
Liz, you had a good point earlier when you had talked about
one a podcast.
That's all you're
going to
get. Yes. Although we're not, so far, none of us has had to explain away one of our comments or behaviors.
Oh, here,
so
you've done it now. It's coming.
I'm sure it will. But you had mentioned something. Wouldn't it be interesting if CW's initials stood for something?
Oh, yeah. Content warning.
Wouldn't that be great? Why do we think that she targeted these influencers?
I mean, I think she just saw they were women traveling alone. I mean, that seems to be the hook. But it's, and it's also the why. I mean, we talked about this earlier. We don't know why CW is doing this unless, and I wonder if she is a bad guy. We were all talking about her as a bad guy at the beginning before the podcast started. Like, maybe she's teaching them a lesson about what's real in life.
I mean, but if we say Jigsaw is a villain, I think we kind of have to say CW
she is
similar because
to Jigsaw. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, because they do die on that island.
Yeah.
And a really painful, although she would argue not painful. She makes it a point to say it's more of a euphoric state.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I don't know how, you know.
You get to trip balls because you drink salt water. Like, I don't know what she was saying. I want to think that she is mad at how easily everything is handed to them. And maybe she justifies her having these beautiful houses and beautiful things because she's now working for it by going after them and doing the work, finding them, you know, showing them the way.
But she's so quickly bored by it.
Well, isn't the attention span of most human beings these days shorter?
But just that idea that, like, you would look at an influencer who she has this gorgeous house, which is truly beautiful.
Yeah. And just enjoy it.
This food, there's no enjoyment. Like, it becomes mundane after, what, a couple weeks?
It does, but I wonder if she sees herself as this policeman of the internet, and now I've got to go out and stop these entitled little shits from perpetuating this. Because she did make that comment to, I think, what's her name, Jessica? That she's entitled.
Yeah.
And because the one woman was talking about, oh, well, you could just travel anywhere. Anybody could do it. It's all right. Should I wear my hat? Should I not wear my hat? It's so easy. Let me just, you know, do this. And it's not. It's not. Not everybody can just do it. Maybe they don't have the personality. Maybe they don't have the money to start it. Maybe they don't have the money to have the equipment to do it. Maybe they don't have the courage. Maybe they don't have the support. Maybe they don't have the branding. Maybe they don't have the face for it. I don't know. But you can't just do it. And she makes it look like you can do it by just throwing out a couple hashtags and a beautiful sunset.
But even her boyfriend Ryan makes the comment that he thinks Madison's social media has just gone downhill. And it coincides with when CW takes it over. So you clearly can't just do it. That there is a template that CW is not
that Ryan manufactured.
What was interesting to me, though, is I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, Ryan does make that point. You know, he says her social media account has gone downhill, but it's like, and then I think he shows a picture of her with a teddy bear at a fair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's like, that's it. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm not seeing, why is that so great?
And it sounded like her audience was young girls.
Yes.
Didn't they say that, you know, little girls looked up to her? So she kind of played that cute factor, which you got the sense that she was kind of a sweet, innocent kind of person.
Yeah, you didn't really, at least I didn't get the sense that she was playing a character. Mm-mm. Like, you got the sense that this was actually her. It was just packaged by Ryan to be presented a certain way, but that the gist of it was really her.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that that's why they showed Madison and then Jessica.
Yeah.
Because they were two different breeds.
Like, I found Jessica to be a lot less authentic.
Oh, yeah. She was less authentic.
She was like a wellness influencer.
Yeah.
I only liked her
and travel.
She didn't seem to need anybody else.
That's
I mean, other
true.
Than her followers. But, you know, I was mentioning how she just walked down the streets like she owned it, which is in a certain place of entitlement. But she wasn't afraid to travel. She wasn't afraid to go to different places. She wasn't afraid to talk to new people. Even when she was in the store buying the fake jade statue, she's like, I know it's fake. I don't really care. It's just for my sister back home. It's fine. Like, she just kind of was a very confident person. So I had hope for her.
I personally, like, I think CW is just like, I think she, well, like, for me, this is sort of like the thesis of the film. And I don't know if you guys buy this. She says, you, and she says it to Madison, you feel entitled to thinking that people should follow you, which makes you believe that you're the center of the universe, the star of the sky, but no one is.
And doesn't Madison even say it? She goes, this is my story.
Yeah, I think she does, yeah. She says, we are 100% in my story. after that. Yeah.
I wanted to throw punch her for that.
And then Madison, sorry, CW says something else similar to Jessica, too, right after she says, "You entitled bitch." She says, "They won't even notice you're gone. Nobody cares. They never do." So it's like CW is about convincing these people who think they're the center of the universe, not only that they're not, but that no one is. I
agree with her.
That's her motivation. That's her point. Yeah, which is why I'm saying, is she really a bad guy? Because she's just teaching people this existential truth. Like, you're nobody.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're the center of the universe.
And obviously that's not true because the world is flat.
Well, I'll be contrary here. Isn't everybody the star of their own story, or shouldn't they be?
No.
Oh, I disagree. I think you should be.
I should be a main character in my story.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't act. I guess I feel like there has to be this balance where my sense of self can't be at the expense of society.
But I don't know that Madison, and again, there's such different influencers. But just speaking about Madison, I don't know that what she's putting forth is inherently negative. Because if you look at the feeds that they show, it is pretty positive. Is there really a problem with her sharing her life? Because a lot of those photos, unlike Jessica, were taken during real moments of her life. Jessica, we see her taking photos and really manufacturing a persona. With Madison, this is really her going about her daily life. And then Ryan's influence has, you know, them capturing it.
But her daily life is just manufactured in order to take photographs of it. I mean, she doesn't have a daily life outside of taking pictures of herself doing whatever it is she's doing. People's lives aren't actually like that.
Well, no, it's a highlight reel. That's all social media is a highlight reel. And I wonder, like, have we gotten to the point where people understand that? I don't think we have, because I talk to young people and they really still see like a lot of this imagery as aspirational, which I guess is no different than, you know, back in the day. You made the comparison to sports figures. Mm-hmm. Is it really all that different saying like, ooh, I want to be like them. I want to live that lifestyle. Was anybody ever living that lifestyle? Maybe, but
well,
I would
say again, wanting to be an athlete is a good aspiration.
And you had to work at it.
Yeah, you have to work.
You have
it
to have
takes
a
lot of hard work, discipline, skill.
But influencing takes skill too, though.
I guess, but it takes
marketing skill. It takes video editing skill. I mean, there are skills that it takes.
But I don't know if they do it, because you got the sense too with Ryan. He was doing a lot of the manipulation of. She was just kind of showing up.
Yeah.
And maybe he was helping out with things.
Well, that's where the wealth divide comes in, because like if you come to influencing and you have the money to, like you said, buy the best equipment, hire editors, sort of help to manufacture the persona that you want, you're in one camp. But I think a lot of people, especially the teens and kids who see it as aspirational, are like doing it on their IMAX, you know what I mean? Or they're trying to learn video editing by watching YouTube videos.
And if you have to be edited, is it real?
I mean, the news gets edited. Are you saying the news isn't real, Gwen?
Fake news. Fake news.
That was such a setup question. I felt just like Barbara Walters.
Very nice. But again, like they're editing their persona, not like a news story.
No, I agree with you. I'm just trying to be contrary.
That's all right. I appreciate that. And again, too, like how authentic is it if their followers will jump ship in a second or flip-flop on how they feel about them in a second? Like there's a lack of authenticity to their followers that I think troubled me, too.
Well, it is interesting because I do watch a lot of YouTube and have for years. And so I've definitely watched like quote unquote influencers who their audiences have aged out. Hmm. And what happens to those influencers as a result of that? And some really are like hanging on with death grips, trying to bring in new audiences. You know, you're like a 40-year-old woman doing like teen crafts and being like, yay. And you know, you have the big bow on your hair. I'm like, people can tell that's not authentic. And so I do think, like, in a way, audiences can sort of gauge authenticity. I think where it becomes much more muddled has been sort of the rise of the vlogger, where you're in people's homes and what you think are people's homes, and you're in personal spaces. And so, you know, those parasocial relationships develop. I don't know. I did find two reviews. I just wanted to point out. One was a Collider review by Chase Hutchinson. And he said, if a film can manage to strike a balance in exploring how technology has moved beyond being a tool into something that fundamentally alters us, then it's worth cherishing that for that alone. So he was positive on the movie. Brandon Yu in the New York Times remarked, you know, that the film treats social media as a breeding ground for fear and obsession. And so I was wondering from you guys, like, the film makes the case that everything online is manufactured, which is kind of what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's possible to form real relationships based on online interactions?
No.
That's just no.
No.
Really? Even in the era of Zoom? No. And no. Okay. She is a no, yeah. Folks.
I'm a hard no. I think it gives you the perception of it. It is a filtered connectedness, but it's not, it's always filtered. There's something even more genuine about writing a letter and having a pen pal. The waiting for the response, the wondering, time that it takes, the effort that it takes, the attention. I think that that means more.
But wouldn't it be easier to pretend? I'm thinking of like catfishing, especially. It could be so much easier to do that through letters than to have to do it online and have to go
back
through all
in
that
the day,
work.
When we wrote letters.
I still write letters.
And so do I. The intent was usually not that.
Right.
However,
yeah,
is it
true.
Easier to do? Absolutely. But again, too, you usually don't cold mail somebody unless you write to prisoners.
Well,
I don't know.
It was the whole pen pal thing where you would get a pen pal.
Yeah, you're right.
Country.
You did.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I remember that.
You're absolutely right.
But the point of that was just like, it was almost like built into your education, like connect with someone in France and find out what
they're
experience.
Do you remember back in the day, did you guys ever do, it was
so
like a balloon release? It's like, hey,
yes.
Put your name and address on this balloon and set it free and hope that you're not in a child predator area.
Like, awful. Oh my God, that's awful.
I'm a child. Here's my address. Come find me.
Right.
Whoever finds
the little picture. Oh.
But that's, see, thank God we had McGruff the crime dog too, because then they fingerprinted all of us. So in case we were kidnapped
or
killed.
I just found my little blue card with my fingerprint. And I was like, damn, who thought that was a good idea?
70s and 80s, guys.
Yeah. It was
a different time.
It was the Wild West. But I think you're right, though, about letters, is that there wasn't sort of this duplicitous undercurrent to writing letters. So,
except for chain letters.
Why? Well, chain, yes. Yes.
I don't see we're real.
You're all going to die if you don't mail this to 13 people.
But you knew
people.
What you were dealing with a chain letter. Like, there was no, you knew. But, like, when did that idea of, like, I'm going to manufacture a persona, is it when people turn themselves into brands? Like, everybody's a brand now. People want to
no,
be brands.
I mean, I'm sure that, of course, this stuff has been around. People have deceived people since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
But I just think that the internet made it so much easier.
I guess more widespread, too.
Yeah. Like, you know, remember, you know, with dial-up and chat rooms, there was this constant fear of, like, predators. And you could say you were anybody. And then it just...
Yeah.
You can fake everything. And
millions.
Again, you can really manufacture anything. Like we just Googled if there's images of Gwen on online. And I mean, we found somebody that same name.
Yeah.
Very close in appearance. I could easily make up a social media profile if I really wanted to and be anybody I want to.
Well, can I tell you how difficult it has been for me to get my photo off of online? Like, it finally has happened. But with that comes you, like, I can't do conferences that have Zooms because that's going to be online.
Yeah.
It really does have impacts, like, professionally. It has impacts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, socially.
I agree. Well, people take that consent for granted, too. Like, even when they record Zoom.
Yeah. You get the little warning.
Yeah.
Like, this meeting is being recorded, but you're not really allowed to
Well, you have to be
say...
on camera to be a part of this meeting and get credit for it.
Yeah.
We've now just removed your consent.
And just the forced in, like, being forced into social media. I go to look up businesses online. You're pushed to Facebook. I can't read anything because I don't have Facebook.
I
so
don't
it's insane.
Do QR codes. Like, I go to a bloody restaurant. I want a menu.
Yeah.
Give me a GD menu.
There's a backlash against the QV whatever menus.
Yeah. See, I just We are definitely being pushed into this place that, and there's no repercussions in this world. And there's...
That's why we need CW.
That's right.
Yeah.
See? Good guy. Not really Jigsaw, but she
except
has
she
a moral
does murder
exemplar.
People. Although I guess no, it is like...
Does she murder them?
It's all for the greater good. It was an accident. She
what
put a stiletto in her throat.
Oh, that. Okay, she murdered.
She just
she
misstepped.
Jessica.
It was a misstep. She curb stomped her.
Why?
It was
she,
a deviation.
Why did she kill her rather than taking her to the island?
I think just because Ryan was there. I think she had to make a decision.
Yeah,
she had to get her out of the way.
Okay. Yeah.
But we assume her plan was to take Jessica to the island.
I would have thought so.
Okay.
I would have thought so. I think she did make the impulsive act to whack her head against the rocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she just got carried away. But I don't think her standard MO is just to murder people.
Yeah. She
I think it's to, you know, I think that your thing worse than death is going to be alone.
Mm.
And you're probably so entitled that you don't actually know how to do anything for yourself.
Which is incorrect.
Which was incorrect
in
this case.
Yeah.
In that case. But I think that she made these assumptions about, you know, all the influencers and...
She should have known when Madison said she was in the Girl Scouts
she
would survive.
Good call.
Right. Because she
That's
said that.
Right.
She's like, last time I was around the campfire was a Girl Scouts thing.
You're right.
So, and that's the clue that, you know how when CW first took Madison to the island and there's that log with scratch marks in it?
Yeah.
I think there were six marks.
That was like
on the
five
log.
Times six. Because it was in sets of five.
Yeah, maybe it was seven then.
Yeah.
I thought that was how many people she had left at the island. But I think it's about how many days they survived.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, yeah, that's what clues her into Madison being alive when she comes back. And that was like, what,
she's
25,
yeah.
30 marks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time to survive
on
that island.
She also seemed to have ate well. During that time, she didn't seem emaciated at all.
She caught fish. You didn't see the fish drying.
But even Tom Hanks in Castaway.
I watch a lot of Alone. I could do it. There's a competition in South Carolina. I'm going to join it.
Oh.
100%.
The only deterrent, not of Alone.
The only deterrent that I've had is that I think it's filmed for social media. So that's going to be a hard no.
Yeah, you can't do anything like that and not show up on social media because you would be gift into a turn, especially you.
No.
Knowing what comes out of your mouth, you would definitely wind up in social media.
I know.
I mean, and what would be the point of doing it if you weren't on social media? I mean, I think isn't the entire point of things like that?
She just wants to do it.
My head just exploded.
You like, rocked her world.
I mean, it's like the tree falling in the forest and no one hearing it. I mean, who cares about a bunch of people surviving if it's not on social media?
She just wants to know she can do it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. I'm like, my head is hurting right now. Like, I think that goes back to you talking about, well, aren't we all the star of our story? I guess on some levels we are. But again, it can't be at the expense of others. You didn't get there
certainly.
Without a mother or a best friend. And they're still part of a collective story, and you can't live your life at the expense of others in the world.
Well, no, you don't live in a vacuum, but I still think for your own story, you need to be the star of your own story, because if you allow other people to occupy that, are you really living authentically?
I see where you're going with that. I guess in my head, I've always seen this life as, yes, again, I'm that main character, but I'm not ever going to be the only person, so I have to always do my best to give back.
Oh,
and
yeah,
make the place
it doesn't
better.
Have to be oppressive.
I get it.
It shouldn't be oppressive.
Yeah.
But it still should sort of center you and the uniqueness that you bring to the world.
Well, what's interesting about what Madison says, though, if you listen to the language, is that, well, CW accuses her, you know, she says, you believe that you're the center of the universe, the star of the story, but no one is.
Mm-hmm.
And Madison's says, we are 100% in my story. I think that's interesting. It's not like I'm in my story. It's like, no, you're in my story too.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's where it gets oppressive.
Right.
It's like, you only matter to the extent that you're in my story.
Yeah, and I think that's what she definitely
Why
meant.
Did I just identify with CW when you read that?
Because you are
you're
CW.
Right. It is the story. We are all here.
I'm never getting on a whaling boat with you, ever.
I can't.
So the way the story ends is that, you know, Madison overtakes CJ and takes off in the boat. Do you think she sends back help?
No.
For Madison?
For
no.
CW.
No. Oh, for CW? No.
No.
Oh, see, I think she does. What? And then she live streams it for social media. That's what I think happens.
No.
And she profits off of it. No, you don't think so?
If Ryan had anything to say with it, yes.
Well, I think the fact that CW killed Ryan is going to be why she sends.
There's so many problems I have with this. But number one, why would you take the dead bodies with you? Just leave them. Like, give CW something to eat. I don't know what you have to do. But, like, why are you taking... Because people are really going to believe you. Like, oh, I just happened to come upon these two bodies that were in this boat when I was escaping. Like,
well, I don't know why she didn't weight the bodies down and throw them into the water.
I would have just left him there.
No, I wouldn't have left him there. I would have cleaned up after myself. Listen to we sound insane.
She didn't kill them. Yeah. I'm talking about Madison. She didn't kill anybody. Just leave him there.
Did she not push Ryan overboard? Was his body not floating in the water before she...
Oh, I might have missed that.
I mean, I don't know.
I thought he was still in the boat, but I could be wrong.
Maybe he was. And maybe she wanted to prove that he's dead and CW killed him. In which case, she would be coming back.
And how
with
do
the
you
police.
Prove that? Yes. Because here's the other thing, too. Do you get the sense that CW is going to survive?
Well, that was my question. Like, at the very beginning of the film, you get sort of this aerial shot of a body female lying on the sand.
Yeah.
If that's CW.
It wasn't CW.
It wasn't. Okay. Yeah. Then
but
I think
I,
she
I don't
survives.
Know who it is.
So it could have been another one of the people. Because we did see that Madison had at some point erected, like, crosses and had buried bodies.
CW didn't seem that disturbed by being left there. And she actually seemed to kind of smirk as Madison was kind of flying away. Kind of like, all right, maybe I got that one wrong. All right, go ahead. You know, she didn't seem upset at all. Like, she's going to send the cops for me, you know.
I could be completely wrong, but my sense is that those 25 days or however many there were for Madison on the island, like, that would have changed her. Like, I can't see her going back to being an influencer.
And, like, what if she wrote a book about her experience? I mean, that's a form of influencing.
Yeah.
If you do the media circuit, which you have to do now for publishing, it's really a different world.
I mean, maybe that is what the world is now, right? It's like, you said this earlier, like, you have to, the thing you're selling is yourself, like your image. You know, everyone has a side gig or a hustle or they're supposed to. And that what that is usually is like you're selling some image of yourself or your life.
Do you think that people realize, because I always have a section on social media whenever I'm talking to students, and I'm so surprised by how many of them fail to realize, like, I say, well, who's the product? You know, what is the product here? And they fail to realize that we, as consumers of this social media, are the product.
Yeah, to the advertisers.
Yeah,
it's no different than TV.
We are the product. And it's been fascinating because I just sort of accept that as a given, but people still have not universally concluded that.
You're watching it. You're watching the influencer. You're the product.
Because they've never read Noam Chomsky.
But what, well, yes.
Yeah, you can pretty much count on that.
But also, what does that mean? Like, right now, I keep hearing from people who are, like, trying to break into publishing and that publishers don't even care what your manuscript looks like. They want to know how many social media followers you have. And
that's
moving into even like academics. You know, you want to do this particular, you know, type of project. How many eyeballs can you guarantee are going to look at it? Yeah. That's disturbing.
Yeah.
That makes me feel gross inside.
It does for me as well. But it also makes me feel like consistently I struggle with that idea of like, I really should be on social media.
Because again, if a lot of this stuff is manufactured for, you know, some other end game.
Yeah.
If it's just advertising,
mm-hmm.
What's the point of that? I think there's more point of me just living on an island for 30 days to prove I can do it than there is to manufacturing something just to get that job. I don't know. And then is it your story? If it's fake, you're not even a main character anymore.
It's interesting. Especially, I mean, obviously we're recording a podcast. The podcast is going to be put on social media because how else do people know?
But we also don't do it for the end game. We're not doing it for the...
No.
We're doing it because
but
we
should
want
we be?
To.
Because I look at Pog and I'm like, well, it does take a lot of time and energy and effort.
Doesn't that speak to that TV show that you were talking about the other day? What, based on a true story?
Oh, so good, you guys. If you have not watched it,
I started the first episode.
It.
I'm not
there
yet.
It picks up. I guess I just enjoyed the humor. I think there's only 8 episodes.
It's a podcast.
God, the tennis player guy. What a wet noodle, man.
So now but that's true crime. I mean, that's a different kind of conversation.
I got to go back to the original question.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that you can make authentic relationships online?
No. I mean, I guess I would not be as unequivocally no as you. I would say, like, I think you can start one online. You can continue one that's periodically online.
Fair.
But I would say there has to be some like in-person component of it.
Because it's good for maintenance too. So again, I think about like, what if you are married to somebody in the military and they're abroad? Sometimes the only contact you might have would be that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think you can, but there has to be some way to verify that the person you're talking to is actually the person you're talking to.
Or that they actually exist.
Yeah.
And if you're never going to meet them, does that matter though?
Yeah.
I mean, it would.
Does it matter if they're even real if you never meet them?
This is very existential, and I don't know that my brain can handle it, to be quite honest.
I thought it was really interesting when Ryan comes to Thailand and is looking for Madison, and it takes him a while to realize that she might actually be missing. And he talks to Jay, you know, by video chat, and he was like, you know, when was the last time you've seen Madison? And then he has to sort of say, no, like, when have you seen her? Because he's like, I've spoken to her, but it's just dawning on him that he hasn't seen her.
Yeah.
And I guess that's when he's realizing, like, she could have been faked by somebody or something.
And I do think what this film does really well is show how easy it is to fake that.
Yeah.
You know, from audio clips, if you're just having a conversation on the phone.
Ryan has a phone conversation with what he thinks is her, and it's just CW typing the
text
was
mind-blowing.
Into a computer.
Yeah, which is here.
Yeah.
It is here.
See, this is why I am who I am, though, because nobody wants to fake me. They're like, no.
We all want duplicate twins.
They're like, I'm going to go straight for Liz.
Can I have a duplicate twin who could go to work for me?
Yes.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I mean, if you just work remotely, you could totally do that. But I just have to ask you, because did any of you think single white female? Because this was one of the reasons why I thought this film was interesting. I mean, I'm assuming you've both seen it.
Jennifer Jason Leigh,
such a good
Fonda, which I love.
I didn't, only because CW's motivation is so different.
It's so different from Hedy's.
I agree. Yeah. So even like that review where they were talking about obsession, I was like, I didn't see obsession. Mm-hmm.
She's not obsessed.
She's not obsessed. Yeah. She's making a point. In her rogue justice kind of realm.
Yeah, she is punishing them / making a point. Whereas Hedy, with Jennifer Jason Leigh, with Bridget Fonda, like, wanted to become her. Well, first she wanted to be her best friend, and then it verged into becoming her, wanting her boyfriend. I mean, there is the high heel scene is kind of a callback to Single White Female, where she spikes.
I feel like in an alternate universe, if Madison wasn't a influencer, that CW and Madison could have actually got along. Like, they seem to actually get along.
Well, at no point did I think that CW disliked Madison.
No.
Like, it didn't feel personal like that.
Yeah. But I could even see it going in those single white female, like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was at first, because CW does sort of take over Madison's online persona in a similar way to Jennifer Jason Leigh sort of dressing like Bridget Fonda.
It felt like it was going to go that way. It just didn't go all the way.
I thought it was going to go that way, but it didn't. I mean, and Ryan, I think, when he, just before he dies, he seems to think that's her motive, because he's like, are you really doing this because you don't have any friends of your own? You have to use my girlfriend's account so you can feel liked. I mean, that sort of described Jennifer Jason Leigh in Single White Female. Like, she was alone, she didn't have any friends, so she sort of wanted Bridget Fonda's life. And maybe that's the easy motivation to attribute to CW, but I guess I don't think that's what she's doing. It's almost like she's a philosopher. She, like, wants to show them they're not important. Your life isn't important, you're not the center of the universe, your life isn't real.
And realistically, they're followers didn't miss them. She's not wrong.
Exactly.
No, she's not wrong.
They just kind of unfollowed, but they didn't ever say, oh, is there something wrong with her? They believed everything online, and then they just kind of turned the other cheek.
Well, why do you think the film is situated in Thailand? Like, why couldn't it be in Chicago that this film, I mean, is it still, are we still at that point where with otherness that we have to go to a land that's not the United States in order to make the point?
I just took it as Thailand is shorthand for the beauty. So remember when all these influencers, they're like putting out all this wellness and peacefulness and centeredness and look at this beauty and look what I'm doing now and it's so beautiful. Whereas you wouldn't necessarily find that in a metro. So they went to the stereotypical place. Like, I'm going to go closer to Eastern enlightenment to bring you this peace and well-being. I'm going to do yoga on a cliff with a baby goat. You know, it's all, again, manufactured.
Yeah.
Because realistically, there's absolutely jaw-dropping, stunning places right here in the United States, but they went to the place that everybody seems to think, or they're told to think.
Mm-hmm. I just wish they had interrogated that a little more.
I mean, I think that's a really good point. And I mean, it's like it's turning Thailand into something inauthentic, like another brand you can sell.
Yeah.
Just like the hotel, the pool, the lotion or whatever it was she was selling, and the place.
And they only showed a certain part of Thailand.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
I mean, and practically speaking, it's easier to steal someone's passport and isolate them. And
true.
That's
make
very
them,
true.
Like, dependent on you.
Yeah. Good
I mean, Madison would never have felt that helpless in Chicago.
Yeah. So has this film changed how you all will use social media?
No, because I don't.
I'm going to keep on not watching influencers. So, by the way, do you know that we've done a podcast on another of this director's films?
What?
Remember Spiral? About the two gay guys.
I would love to say yes, but I don't want to lie to you.
I know. I was like, the staircase? What?
Oh, no, I do remember
Spiral,
that.
The two gay guys in the town, and they're getting like...
Yes, that was a good movie.
It was
a good movie. Oh, that was a good movie.
The townspeople are sort of trying to drive them out or something. And it turns out to be sort of a cult in the town that...
Yes.
That was a good movie.
That was a better movie than this.
Yeah.
No! I really liked Spiral, but I like this one better. He also directed What Keeps You Alive. Did you watch that?
Mm-mm.
Two lesbians go out in the woods.
Okay.
That sounds like the beginning of a bad joke.
That movie drove me absolutely bonkers. It was billed and presented
really
as
element.
So progressive, and ultimately it's so reductive.
I will watch that if you watch an episode of Alone.
I love those survival reality shows.
I would love to do that.
I think you would be good at that. Well, they were going to have it Dorney Park. They were going to have that like naked and alone.
Oh, that's right. That went they went bonkers about that.
Yeah, they canceled
Dorney
that.
Park?
Yes. You were like, what was it going to be at midnight? Like there was going to be like, what was it, a scavenger
and
hunt?
I feel like they still did something, but they had to wear their drawers. Like.
Yeah. Because I remember Gwen, like, hey, I think I'm going to do this. Do you want to do this? We're just going to be running around Dorney Park naked.
And you said yes, right?
I did say yes. But they canceled it. I guess there was an outcry.
Yeah.
People were concerned.
I remember.
Probably for good reason. Well, I don't know what this podcast was, but
I don't know.
Hopefully you all got something out of it. Final thoughts? Would we recommend it? Would we not?
Hell yes.
Hell yes.
And also watch Spiral and also watch What Keeps You Alive.
And I guess if we're ever going to get picked up, I should say something like, buy Coca-Cola. I guess that's my takeaway from this.
I don't drink soda.
Oh, well, there goes our sponsorship.
Man.
We're out.
That's it.
Oh,
we're
my
done.
Gosh. Well, we're going to go and we're going to figure out how to monetize absolutely everything that we do and how to actually create a social media presence.
And keep our face off of the media.
And keep simultaneously keeping our face off of social media. And in the meantime, thanks for watching. We're not watching.
Thanks for not
listening.
Watching.
Do not watch us. Okay, I don't know that if we'll be back in July. We might take a month off. We never know. In the meantime, we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.